Today's smartphones can do so many things, it often seems like the least important thing they do is function as a telephone, you know, talking to each other. With our reliance upon the devices, it's no wonder we've reached a point where experiments have begun with systems to allow people to vote by smartphone or other online device. Two Oregon counties are taking part in a pilot project involving online voting and voters who are currently living away from the area. Umatilla is the other county in northeastern Oregon. Let's learn more about the online voting project we have with us right now. Chris Walker, who's the Jackson County Clerk. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange once again.
Thanks for having me, Jeffrey.
We are trying to raise Sheila Nix, the president of Tusk Philanthropies, on the phone and having a little issue there. So we'll be talking to Chris up front about the situation. So let's start with you. In an all-male election environment, it would seem like it's pretty easy for everybody to vote. Are there still some gaps there you're finding where people can't quite get there?
Well, for this particular pilot we're taking place, and we always have our military and overseas voters. And let's face it, we have a mailing system that works wonderful. But sometimes, even though we send their ballots out 45 days in advance, they, depending on where they're at remotely and depending on the jurisdiction that is getting them their mail, they either may not get those ballots in time. But the bigger issue is getting them back to us in time. Right now, they do have the option to email those in or fax them in, which is not a hugely secure system. So what we decided was, especially given the crisis of the Universal Postal Union, the U.S. possibly dropping out of that, they did not. There were changes made. But we were sitting in a crisis, and we thought this is a perfect time to experiment with a pilot program. And that's why we joined on.
So had you been investigating opportunities for new technologies before this came together with Tusk Philanthropies?
Absolutely. We're always looking at new things. Here in Oregon, you know, we are pretty robust. We like to do things a little differently around the country. People think, how does vote by mail work? It could never work back in our jurisdiction. But it works very well here in the state of Oregon. We've kind of always thought outside the box, very proud of that. This is no different.
All right. So we obviously statewide vote by mail in Oregon. How much leeway, though, under law to try new things like online voting?
This is a voting app. Keep that in mind. And, you know, the statutes allow for it. And that's the first thing that we did when we went to move forward was make sure we had statutory authority. And we felt we do based on conversations with the Secretary of State's office. And we felt for the UACAVA voters, or what we call them. Of course, we're famous for acronyms in the elections
yes.
industry. And basically military and overseas voters. We thought it would be a great chance to participate in this pilot. I like being part of the can-do people, not the can't-do. And let's face it, this is our future.
Sheila Nix, I hear you there. You're joining us now from Tusk Philanthropies, the president. Thank
yes,
you so much for being here. So
start
big. Sure. What is Tusk Philanthropies?
So it's a nonprofit organization. The founder is Bradley Tusk, who has a strategies company and a ventures company, but also has a philanthropy, a family foundation. And we work on primarily two issues, two big issues. One is mobile voting, making it easier for people to vote so that we have higher levels of participation, but especially starting with military and overseas voters and other voters that have had problems traditionally accessing the system. We're just doing a pilot now. In addition to the Oregon pilots, we're doing one in Utah County that's going to be available for voters with disabilities. So those type of audiences and demographics where we can really make a big difference. The other issue that is part of Tusk Philanthropies is working on anti-hunger legislation. So coincidentally, we just did a big project in Oregon last year on Breakfast After the Bell that was part of the big education initiative that passed. So those are basically those two issues are what we work on.
I was going to ask you about the name. So just in case anybody thinks this is an outgrowth of the Republican Party and elephants, Bradley Tusk is the name of the founder. So it is Tusk
right,
is a name.
Right, right. That's exactly right. Good point.
Right. I noticed that Bradley Tusk wrote a book about saving startups from death by politics. Is the regulatory environment tougher on new companies than established ones?
I think that's right, yes. I think a lot of times when you're trying to do something different and bring a new, bring some new technology to something that hasn't been changed in many, many years. Yeah, sometimes it's tougher because there's regulations that exist, and sometimes no regulations exist, and then you're trying to figure out, do you have to comply with old ones? Or, a lot of times the regulations were written for things that have happened in the past and never anticipated the current state of technology.
So is getting more people to vote a direct, is it its own cause, or is it also related to some of the other projects that Bradley Tusk works on and holds?
No, it's actually not related to the day-to-day business side of things, because both Bradley and I come out of politics and government, and so one of the things that, you know, one of the big reasons for trying to get more people to vote is that we're in such a polarized system right now that, you know, for example, let's say a congressional primary, you know, the people who turn out in those, it's very low. Like some, maybe Oregon's a little better, but nationwide, it can be like as low as 12 to 15%. And then with most congressional districts being somewhat gerrymandered, you know, the winner of the primary is generally the winner of the general election. And so you end up with pretty polarized elected officials because they're responding to the few people that vote. So big issues, what we're worried about is big issues where, let's say something like climate change, where probably 60% of Americans agree on kind of a middle of the road solution. Those aren't the people who vote in primaries, and therefore the mainstream views aren't represented in our political system. So that's our big long-term goal on why we think getting more people to vote is important. And then in the short term, you know, projects like we're talking about today, where you're allowing military and overseas voters to participate in an easier way, especially on military voters, you know, they're deployed and serving our country and they have difficulty voting. That seems like a problem we need to fix right away.
We are talking about overseas and military voters and them being able to vote through an app provided by Tusk Philanthropies. It's two counties in Oregon are doing this. Jackson County is one of them. We also have Jackson County Clerk Chris Walker with us, in addition to Sheila Nix, the president of Tusk Philanthropies. Questions, comments, thoughts about this kind of voting and where you'd like to see it go in the future? Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760, by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Chris Walker, about how many of your, I mean, and how big a percentage is that of the voting body that are underseas and overseas and underseas? That would be pretty,
overseas.
That would be a feat, yeah. Overseas and military voters.
We sent out about 389, just under 400 notifications. So for this particular election, that's where it's at. It can go up because we do have people that live permanently overseas and they're still U.S. citizens and qualify for a federal-only ballot. But for this election, it's a special election. It's not a federal election. So just under 400 voters. And we do have people signing up. We have about 11 of those returned, which does not sound like a lot. But, of course, it's new technology. You know, and we're just grateful to be a part of this program. America was built on people with an idea, people who took a chance on a business. So we should be supporting things like this. And this is what we were built on. Our country was built on good old-fashioned ingenuity.
So you're saying 11 people have actually used the app to vote now?
Actually used the app, yes. Mm-hmm. And we've sent out a couple email notices as well as a paper notice in the paper ballots that were sent out to keep in up on the law. We had to send those out 45 days in advance, and we gave them notification in their ballot packet as well as pushed an email out. And we've done two of those so far, emailing to the ones that we did have emails on, and we'll do that again, of course, before Election Day as well.
So Sheila Nix, you've been involved, as you mentioned, in voter outreach efforts for a long time. I mean, online was the next obvious frontier, I would think.
Yeah, so part of it, you know, I don't know, I bet a lot of people listening have kids that are, you know, 10 to 14 years old right now and really do everything on their phone. And part of why we want to start working on this now and make sure that it works and people like it and we get the results that we think we will is that, you know, 4 to 8 years from now, when those young people now start voting, I think we want to meet voters where they are. And so, you know, the thought of somebody who's done most of their, you know, socializing, communicating and everything on their phone, that they, you know, have to either get a mail ballot and, you know, put a stamp on it or not, you know, but put it in the mailbox or go to a polling place and stand in line is, you know, we think that we should give people the option of voting in a way that works for them. It's a funny issue area, really, when you sometimes when you talk to people who are really involved in politics or government or election administration, you know, there's concerns that get raised when you talk about the idea. But if you talk to, like, for me, like friends or neighbors or an Uber driver, and they say, what do you do? And I say, I'm working to, you know, make it easier for people to vote by using their phones to vote. generally people are like, oh, that would be great because I can't get to the polling place on a certain day or time because I'm working or I'm picking my kids up from school or whatever. So, you know, I think that there's going to be, if we, you know, we work like we're doing right now with Chris and we're testing the system and make sure people, you know, and getting feedback. Do you like it? What would you like better about it? You know, so that in 4 to 8 years, we can make this available for many, many more people to try.
Was Oregon, of the states that you have worked in, a less logical place because of the fact that it has all male voting?
Well, it's interesting because we've worked with an organization called Vote at Home that kind of promotes mail, vote by mail. But one of the things they've mentioned is like when they say vote at home, part of the reason is that some of it may be, you know, vote at home by returning a mail ballot, but eventually it might be vote at home by using your phone. And for certain audiences, like people who have visual impairments, having a vote, you know, if you get a ballot at home, but it's in the mail and you can't see it, that's not an option. That's not a good option for you. And so that's a lot of why we started to focus on voters with disabilities in some of our future pilots, because even in a place like Oregon where it's vote by mail, there's still a need to have some additional options for people who have impairments with sight or mobility.
Voting by app, the topic here on the Jefferson Exchange. Sheila Nix is the president of Tusk Philanthropies, which is providing the app. Chris Walker is the Jackson County clerk. Jackson County, one of two in Oregon that is taking part of the pilot, Umatilla being the other. 800-838-3760. If you'd like to join in, email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Chris Walker, you're about to add something, I think.
Just to interject a little, and it's great Sheila brought up the Vote at Home program. You know, Phil Kiesling, our previous Secretary of State, when vote by mail, mm-hmm. went in. Phil is on that board. He's one of the starters of that Vote at Home, and it was based on accessibility. It was based on making it easier for our voters to vote, which is what vote by mail does. But we're also now, we've been doing this so long in Oregon, of course, the first in the country to go to an all-mail system. We're now ready to take the plunge into the next arena. And as Sheila alluded to earlier, that our grandkids, great-grands, they're going to want nothing to do with a paper ballot, let alone a polling place. They want it.
Black or blue pen, are you kidding me?
Yeah, they want it easily accessible on their already currently owned devices that they have. And we would be doing ourselves a disservice if we didn't recognize that. And let's create an environment where we can move this forward. Again, I have a can-do attitude, not a can't-do. And I think this is where it begins. We need to be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
What do you have to do, though, to be able to receive the voter data at your end? I mean, how does the Votes app, and is VOATZ, interface with Jackson County election systems? What do you have to do? Does somebody have to physically fill out a ballot on this end? How does that work?
No, what we do is we get those securely sent to us. We have, of course, administrative rights to get into the system. We will actually, on election day, once we get all these accumulated, we will then print those actually on a piece of paper. We will print those ballots. Keep in mind the Votes app is a mobile marking device. It's to assist you in voting. Mm-hmm. And they'll get sent to us via, we have a secure email system that we get those sent to. We will print those ballots out, and then they go right through our normal tally process.
Right, so it is, you do end up with a paper ballot.
We do end up with a paper ballot. And then what we will do is we're going to keep those all in their own, we call them batches, so that we have those easily accessible and markable, so we know exactly which ones were sent through with the Votes app.
So. All right, so you get the new technology that ultimately ends up with the existing technology.
You got it.
Where you get a ballot filled out. But Sheila Nix, of course, now we get into the realm of cybersecurity. I can't even go to Facebook without seeing a bogus friend request from somebody that I know or somebody that I think I might know. How high the barriers to security, and beyond that, the perception of poor security?
Yes, I think that's a good question. I think that the Votes app, so just to be clear, at Tusk Philanthropy, we cover the costs of the mobile voting piece of the election for jurisdictions that want to try it. And while on this one we're working with Votes, we also have some other vendors in the space that we work with, you know, if a jurisdiction prefers a different methodology. But we hired at Tusk, because we're like political government voting people, we hired a firm called ShiftState that's made up of former FBI cybersecurity agents to help us analyze the systems, the voting systems. And Votes is one of the ones we've worked with a couple different times, and ShiftState's gone in and looked at their systems and done, you know, overseen their audits, and we've had public audits of the systems after the elections in Denver and Utah County. So we feel good about the security that exists at Votes and additionally some of the other vendors that we're working with. But the question that you raised around perception is an important one because, you know, in the current environment, obviously people are nervous. Now, interestingly, I think Chris would agree on some of this, especially the military and overseas voters. This system of voting is more secure than what's happened in the past. I'm not necessarily in Oregon, but around the country, we've had military voters just emailing votes, their vote back, giving up their privacy as well as not really having any security. So in the instance of military and overseas voters, I believe this system is actually more secure than the current system. But it is a question that, you know, we need to be able to be transparent and talk about how it works and what fail-safes are in there. And interestingly, because, you know, the phone companies, Google and Apple, you know, have spent a lot of money trying to make their phones secure, the voting system using those phones can take advantage of those years of research and the, you know, the money that's gone into it. And it's, they have systems. So Votes has a system. So if you're trying to use a phone and the phone's been compromised, Votes will detect that and not even send you a ballot. So there's a lot of stuff built into the back end to make sure that you are the person you say you are and that you have a phone that's not compromised and that your vote is cast properly. So we feel good about the security and we feel like it's been very well tested, but we still continue to have to explain it because people have a lot of questions.
So Votes, V-O-A-T-Z, is that an acronym or is it just that apps have to have a Z in them or something to make them flash?
Yeah, I don't know how they came up with the name.
You mentioned the cybersecurity people. I noticed, too, that you have the National Cybersecurity Center, a nonprofit, not a government agency involved here. Are people actually trying to hack the system? Have you gotten to that level of attempting to breach it?
So the National Cybersecurity Center is a nonprofit organization in Colorado Springs that is, you know, we partner with so that they can audit and they have an audit process for looking at these elections after the fact. The bigger question that you asked on, has there been an attempt in West Virginia? There was an attempt in the primary or in the general election there in 2018, but the system, you know, didn't allow it. Like the system, the vote system caught the attempted intrusion, and then they referred it to law enforcement, which now the law enforcement is looking into who attempted to break in and they'll be prosecuted. But so the good news on that is the systems are designed, you know, the system has a lot of security. So when someone tries to, you know, break in, it's caught before anything happens.
We were talking about the Votes app, allowing people from overseas and in the military to vote in the November election in Jackson County, which as an off-year election involves things like local bond issues and fire district levies, that sort of thing. So you can join the conversation at 800-838-3760 with Chris Walker, the Jackson County clerk, or Andrew Sheila Nix, the president of Tusk Philanthropies. You can also email us at jx@jeffnet.org. Heidi in Medford emailed, how about being able to print out our vote at home as well for reinsurance, she says, a little backup. Any capability in the system for that, Sheila?
So I think you would be able to do that because there's a backup where once you cast your vote, you get an email saying this is how your vote was cast. So you could definitely print that out and keep it. And if you were concerned at some point along the process, be able to call Chris or someone in her office and have them check it.
Okay, that's a big one. I know for a lot of people, it's like, why can't we get a paper receipt from these electronic machines?
And keep in mind, that does also, once it's voted, it goes into the blockchain, which is a decentralized network. There is a way you can access that, and it's an open public format, and it's less likely for tampering, based on the blockchain technology, which is part of the reason that we felt it was important to do this pilot, because we're testing out that to see how that works.
So, Chris Walker, what kinds of measurements do you have in Jackson County? I assume the Secretary of State's office is kind of looking over your shoulder. What kind of measurements will decide whether this expands, whether you do stuff like this more in the future? I mean, you're talking about it as if this is a way you want to go.
Well, of course, just like a vote by mail, it'll take baby steps. It'll be things that we do in the next how many years to look at it, especially expanding it. I could see an area would be to our disability community, persons with disabilities that need to have accessibility as well as what Utah County is doing right now. And that'll kind of be the movement. Alex said we are doing ourselves a disservice if we think this will never happen, because it will. As generations pass, let's face it, it will be the expectation, not the exception to the rule. So we are always looking at ways, again, as an elections administrator, we want to have our voice in this system because we're the ones administering the elections.
Well, people do everything on their phone. You can get entertained by your phone. You can pay for things with your phone. You never actually have to handle cash, credit cards, anything like that if you're all set up with your phone. So it makes sense you're doing this. But Sheila Nix, I still have trouble understanding and explaining blockchain after several interviews. How would you recommend people research online voting and its security to allay any concerns they might have?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, blockchain itself is... You know, the way that I explain it is, instead of having everything on one computer backed up, the way the blockchain works is you'd have to have multiple computers. So many, sometimes in the thousands, right? So even if you broke into one computer, you couldn't change anything because it would be you'd get notification on all the other computers that are part of the blockchain. So it's like a ledger, but instead of it being in one place, it's distributed over many computers or nodes. So that's the, the technical thing. I think most voters don't actually care if the back end is blockchain or cloud-based or whatever, as long as they feel like it's secure. And so I think for voters, it's like, trying to get information. I think that, one of the really interesting things, now this might be a little too detailed, but
yeah, we're getting close to time
the
here.
City of Denver did their pilot last, I guess it was just in May and June of this year, they surveyed all the voters that used it and kind of like got some information about their experience and their feelings on security. And then the city ended up getting an award from the Election Center for the, innovation in elections.
Okay. We have to go. I'm sorry to break you off there, Sheila, but Sheila Nix is the president of Tusk Philanthropies. Chris Walker, Jackson County Clerk, the Votes app being used in a limited way now. We'll hear more about it in the future. Thanks for joining us on The Exchange.